When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Get right back into it. I haven't been on since Friday. We've got a lot to unpack from the weekend. I'd much rather focus on the weekend that was with the NFL draft. Jets, Giants, the entire league. Also a walk-off win for the Mets when you needed it. The Yankees put up 36 runs over the weekend. And then they get shut out for the fifth time this early on in the season. It's early. It's April. It's early. It's April. Yeah, they got shut out again. They left all the runs in Wisconsin, and I don't know. We'll talk about it tonight. Those are frustrating losses for the Mets and the Yankees, but the Knicks, I told you, Knicks in five, gentlemen sweep, Jalen Brunson, historic performance, and the Rangers swept. So if you guys want to continue to live in that, we can. 877-337-6666. We don't have to live in this one night of baseball misery. We don't have to live in this one night of losing late. We don't have to live in this frustration that as soon as they build some goodwill, they find a way to wash it all away. I'll start with the Yankees as par the course, as per usual. I watched the whole Yankee game before the Yankee game started. At Keith underscore McPherson, I tweeted out, hope they didn't leave all the runs in Milwaukee. Yeah, I said, hope they save some runs for Baltimore. Judge in left field, Austin Wells batting six. Let's see it. What could go wrong? Well, obviously, what could go right with Alex Verdugo hitting cleanup over the weekend? That was fantastic. And I'm a superstitious type of guy. I didn't send a tweet Saturday. Doing family stuff, being a family man. I didn't send a tweet Saturday, and the game started off right where I was like, okay, I'm not going to tweet. And so I didn't really tweet during the games, and I got the result I wanted on Saturday and Sunday. 15 runs, great. Everybody gets them. Should have bet on it. Didn't bet on it. Just was so discouraged coming off that Friday night loss. And, yeah, you knew. Going into Birdland, facing the division rivals, Judge's first game in left field. Shout out to Lou from Astoria, who the last couple weeks had said something about Judge in left field. And I was like, no, he's never played left field. Well, first time for everything with Verdugo on paternity leave. You see Judge go to left field. Trent Grisham get the start. And I mean, shout out to Alex Verdugo. He's about to be a girl dad. Congrats to him and his family. Take your time. It is what it is. But yeah, clearly they were missing the dog in that lineup. They were missing the dog as their cleanup hitter, and their bats kind of went quiet tonight. I know they had a bunch of hits. We can look at the box score. We can look at a bunch of different things. But all in all, Gunnar Henderson starts the game off with a leadoff solo bomb. Clark Schmidt settles in after, pitches well. But, I mean, you can blame the umps again. I'm just done doing that. Standard, it's the ump show. That strikeout call on Rizzo was egregious. It's just terrible. It changed the whole inning. And that probably would have been the inning they got something going. But whatever. All in all, your New York Yankees lose to the Baltimore Orioles. And now they find themselves, let's see, in second place in the American League East. And actually, they're right there in the American League East. I mean, shout out to the Oakland A's over the weekend handling the Baltimore Orioles, taking two out of three from them. Appreciate y'all. But, of course, the Yankees go into Baltimore tonight And Volpe with the game on the line. Tighten up, my boy. We needed that. We needed that. And, yeah, the Orioles get a run early and a run late. And two is enough to beat the New York Yankees, who seem to be feast or famine, depending on the night, depending on the series. And, you know, coming off of the Milwaukee series, you should have swept. It is what it is. But now, to win this series against your division rival, you have to win the next three straight. And I wouldn't bank on that. But what do I know? I thought they were going to lose the series to the Brewers after fumbling that game Friday night. 877-337-6666 for the Yankee fans to chime in with thoughts on Aaron Judge. At least Judge turned down his, teal, bright blue, baby blue accents and accessories like I asked for Friday. Now he's just wearing blue and white to match the team colors. Good. And I saw Judge got right over the weekend, but he's still not all the way right. And Volpe got right over the weekend, birthday boys over the weekend, but he's still not right, struggled a bit as well. But yeah, I mentioned the Oakland A's handling business against the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend. Well, the Chicago Cubs ran into the Boston Red Sox, and the Boston Red Sox handled business before the Cubs ended up coming from Boston to New York. I mean, the Red Sox put up 17 runs on Saturdays, beat the Cubs 17-0 in Fenway on Saturday's game. And then they beat them yesterday 5-4. And then they waltz into Queens, City Field, City Connect unis on again. And again, Luis Severino is flirting with a no-no. Luis Severino is looking like the guy. I was just talking to Paulie about how Yankee fans know when he's not hurt, he can be this guy. We thought at this time he would be the 1B to Gerrit Cole's 1A. Never materialized. And these games just never materialized. He doesn't end up going the distance, but he goes 8 innings, only gives up a hit, an earned run, 2 walks, 5 Ks. I mean, he took the no-hitter into the 8th. Stay tuned for my Casamigos big shot of the night. I don't usually award it to guys with it wasn't even a losing performance. It's not on him. I'll get there. I usually don't give it out when the team loses. But, man, Severino looks good. Like, Severino is making David Stearns look good. 877-337-6666. But all in all, not enough going on the base pass. I mean, Nimmo starts the game off making it happen right away with a bomb. And you feel pretty good about yourself when you're looking at the way Severino was dealing. But then, obviously, it gets late. And bam, 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 bam. They sound the trumpets. And you know what? Edwin Diaz, as good as he is, he can get got to. He ends up giving the game away. And that's all she wrote. I jokingly said you can blame the City Connect uniforms, but that's baseball, Susan. You can have a no-no. You could have a 1-0 game looking like that's going to be the final score. And then when you get to the bullpen, even one of the best guys coming out of any bullpen in baseball, they can get got as well. Shout out to Chris Morel. That young man was just ready to go. Christopher Morel, I thought it was him. No, maybe it was. I saw something on Twitter. Let me go back to the box score. Oh, I see here. Yeah, so late in the game. Oh, shout out to Jameson Taillon as well. Jameson Taillon, former Yankee, 2022 Yankees facing off. Yeah, late in that game, you got Dansby Swanson. You got these guys, the Chicago Bears, Chicago Cubs, Christopher Morel homers. And yeah, that's a 3-1 loss in Citi Field. So if you guys don't want to live too much in that, we don't have to. I have to speak on it, obviously. I see Kodai Senga on my screen right now. There's some positive energy. They say he looks ready to go. He threw a nice little bullpen, and you got to see him in the City Connect uniform. He's on his way back. Help is on the way. Could be a nice little 1-2 punch with him and Severino. So Mets fans, 877-337-6666. Call me up. Tell me how you feel. You had it. You had a no-no going. You had a 1-0 win going. And then it got late, and a Dansby Swanson single, a couple other swings of the bat, and yeah, Mets lose. Yankees lose. 877-337-6666. I think the Giants won in the NFL draft. I think the Jets won for sure in the NFL draft, and I have to tip my cap to the way that they traded around, waited around, and got value, right? I think that's a Jets front office and a general manager with something to prove that specifically went out in this draft saying, hey, we're going to show people that we know what we're doing, and we're drafting for right now and the future, and we can certainly take calls on what the Giants did, on what the Jets did. I was impressed. I think they added some young talent. They added enough guys to fill needs, and you'll see how the rest of time shakes out. And before you know it, you know, later next month, there's OTAs, and then the summer flies by. Ah, I can smell the summer in the air. I came out of my apartment this morning, and I'm like, it's already warm. It's already getting warm. And then I was working out outside, and I'm like, ah, I'm not where I want to be. But I got about a month to get to where I want to be. And then even coming in tonight, driving in tonight, feeling the warm still in the air, not having to wear a jacket. I'm like, nothing is about to break my stride. I don't care. The Mets and the Yankees are going to lose games. So what? I don't have to live in that tonight. I can live in the weekend that was with the fans that call the fans. So I'm sure I already see the calls lighting up, Yankees and Mets. You know, it's a 4-hour KM to 2 a.m. So we've got plenty of time to talk about what happened tonight. If you guys are mad at Francisco Lindor, call me up. If you guys are mad at Aaron Judge, call me up. Those guys make a ton of money. They're supposed to be killing it every single game. Not enough. It's not enough. Well, yeah, I don't know. They're here, and then they're there, and then they're not there. But yeah, all in all, two losses for the baseball teams. But I am impressed with the draft picks. Just the Giants' first two draft picks. I think those are two guys that are going to be starters for a long time on the New York Giants. And I really, I'm a low-key Florida State football fan. Like, I grew up rooting for them. Obviously, like, as you get older, you stop rooting for colleges that you didn't go to as much. But I love the pick of QB Jordan Travis in the fifth round. He's a kid that was playing winning football. You know, he's a kid that was with Florida State as they didn't lose a game. Their whole season was derailed as soon as he broke his leg. But let's see what that young man has. He might be better than Zach Wilson today. 877-337-6666. And yo, I know we talked Friday about Malachi Corley. This Braylon Allen kid, as far as having him in your running back room, and I know they also picked up Isaiah Davis, but the Braylon Allen kid was a guy I was hoping that the Dallas Cowboys draft. Instead, they don't draft any running backs because they're going to bring Ezekiel Elliott back. Idiots. Anyway, back to the Jets. Eileen Gangrene. Man, this Braylon Allen kid could be... He could be RB2. He might jump Izzy. I think this kid is NFL ready. I think this is a kid that can be a short yardage back. I think he can be a complement to Breece. I think he can break open. And he's coming out of a place that has produced a ton of running backs. So I really was impressed with the fourth round and first fifth round pick of the Jets. But we'll get into it. Jets fans, Giants fans is wide open. And then last but not least, Knicks fans. Knicks fans, I know I have trolled you. I know I have made fun of you. I know I was always punching up as a stupid Nets fan, feeling like we got a little bit of run with the KD Kyrie era. It was short-lived. But you always hear me say, stay down until you come up. Oh, you're up right now. It's up right now. The scenes coming out of Philadelphia, a place that I hate, I've been to. I've been to the NFL draft there in 2017. I've been to Wells Fargo Center. I've been to Citizens Bank Park. I refuse to watch a game in the Link. But, man, seeing what Knicks fans did, and I've been on this for the last couple weeks saying, go, get in the car and drive down there. The tickets are way cheaper than any ticket to get into Madison Square Garden is going to be. Why wouldn't you just gas up the tank? Get one of your boys, two of your boys, three of your boys, and make the trip. And you did. You absolutely did. Knicks in five chance. MVP chants, F Embiid chants, and yeah, F Embiid, cry baby ass. I love that he had a problem with how his arena sounded. They don't love you like that. You ain't Kobe. You're not the Eagles. You're not the Phillies. The Philadelphia fans were watching the draft. The Philadelphia fans were paying attention to the Phillies. They wanted no part of their hobbled MVP and another cast of characters who are about to be gentlemen swept, like I also said, out of the first round. I don't think there's any way they come up here and win this next game, just based on what I've seen. It was inevitable that you were going to get a 45-point performance, 47-point performance from Jalen Brunson. And that's in the record books. That's all time. I don't care what he did the first game, second game, third game, he gave you 39 in a loss, fourth game, a vital fourth game that I think pretty much ends the series, right? I mean, Embiid got one game basically trying to Mortal Kombat his way through every quarter. This guy tried to fight everybody on the floor, every move that he had that wasn't a basketball move used, and that was their best shot, a 50-point effort from him. And now this guy's crying about, you know, the fans and how it sounds in there. And I'm not calling out our fans. Who are you calling out then? The Eagles fans? The Phillies fans? The Flyers fans? They're the same. He said, but it kind of pisses me off because Philly is considered a sports town. I don't think that should happen. Well, it did, and it was predictable. And up here in New York, we were calling it. They took over your building in the regular season, and I knew that they were going to take it over again for the playoffs. And that's all she wrote for you. You're done. 877-337-6666. The Rangers. I don't think there was any doubt. I think looking at Ovechkin and the Capitals, they're cooked. I don't think there was any doubt in anyone's mind that the Rangers could and would sweep them, but I know you have hesitation because of the past history, going up in a series, whatever. This was different. And what's good about it is you get some rest. What's good about it is help is on the way. What's good about it is, man, this is the team that you're feeling like they're supposed to be. And I'm not jinxing anybody saying, you know, anything by saying they're supposed to hoist the cup. That's all that's been talked about. We want the cup. It's Stanley Cup Finals or nothing. And so far in that first series, you handle business and you put away the Capitals, and now you can kick your feet up only for a little bit. I mean, on the other side, nice to see the Islanders fight back and not get swept. And that also helps the Rangers. So shout out to the Islanders. It took two overtimes, but Saturday they refused to lose, and the Islander faithful over in UBS get to see a win. It might be a gentleman's sweep, but whatever. We're on our way pretty soon to the second round. That's all I've got for my open. There's my 20-minute open. It's wide open for calls, 877-337-6666. We'll start with the Yankees. We'll start with the Mets. But how can we not live in what was from the weekend with the Knicks and the Rangers? Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call me up.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Can I hit it in the morning? Not morning yet. Keith McPherson on The Fan to close another night, Monday night.
Can I hit it in the morning?
877-337, a six. Two more sixes, yeah, two more sixes. That'll get you right on the show. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is back on The Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How you been, man?
I'm good. There's a lot of sporting, and the weather's starting to break. And you know.
Yeah, dude, it's feeling like summer already in my house. We got the ACs, we got the fans in the windows.
I can feel it in the air.
Incredible, man. Hey, listen, you know, we had a hell of a weekend here. I saw the SNY put at the post. Rangers sweep. Knicks take the 3-1. Mets the walk-off. And they played like Yankees win or something for the sake of having four. It was kind of like one of those.
The Yankees scored 15 runs. They had so many runs, so many home runs, so many hits.
Right. Even the Met one, too. I mean, you kind of look at that. Were they down to their last strike? And they followed up with this. I mean, you know, I mainly want to talk Rangers.
TWTW, the will to win. They found a way to not get swept.
I just wanted to name drop my guy, Joey Wendell. I don't use this word a lot, but maybe the most aura-less player I've ever seen.
Stand Joey Wendell. I knew you guys were going to get to that point, too.
No, dude, I remember replying to a guy. I said, this guy is everything wrong with this franchise. He said, you're talking about a backup third baseman. I said, exactly. There's going to be a point in time where he's getting every other day reps and he's costing them big. The only reason he's here is for his contact riddle bat, which he couldn't hit a beach ball, and his glove. Which is like three games now he's costed, you know, on errors. I know technically Diaz lost in the ninth, but I mean, Sevy was eyeing down a no-hitter slash one-hitter. The fielder's choice hits whatever. I mean, he looks like he's straight out of backyard baseball. He's got no aura at all, like I said. He's no pop. I mean, no gloves, a giant helmet. He makes me sick.
Joey Wendell doesn't even play that much, but I feel like already like two or three times after he's played, he's had to get in front of cameras and microphones and explain either the decision that he made or the mistake that he made.
More useless than a sunflower, Swissita, I swear to God. But it's whatever, man. You know what? We got too much going on in this city to be happy about right now. It depends on who you're a fan of. I'm not letting Joey Wendell ruin this phone call. Let's talk a little Rangers, man. So, you know, you got, what they say, like 10 different Rangers scoring that series. You talk about Laviolette. They were saying, you know, when he got booted out of Washington, they were saying it was more so kind of a lack of getting the best out of the players in that locker room. You know, what a way to show it to that locker room, like, you know, showed you the door to sweep. I mean, look at Ovechkin, first playoff series ever, didn't record a single point. You're looking at, I saw a stat today, I think this is the fifth or sixth time a President's Trophy winner swept the first round. I think three of them went on to win the Cup, one of which being the 1994 New York Rangers. Kind of like another parallel to, you know, this you know, match made in heaven with 30 years ago.
Yep.
Another line drawn in the sand is, you know, you had the Knicks, too, went up 3-1 and said first round they wanted to go to the finals, obviously. And you're kind of looking at, you know, the whole Embiid disappointed with the fans taking over the arena. And just, you know, I was watching, I was at NBA Today on ESPN, and I know Perkins has been big on Brunson. And you just see that when Brunson shows up, had, you know, broke the all-time franchise record for points in a playoff game. And, you know, that was their most dominant win of the series. You could say, well, game two, you know, legitimately gifted to them. And I know Sal's been a big proponent of it. And I get his point. I think he just loses all credibility when he's the same guy who calls divisions a month into a season. But he's honestly right. If you look at it, you know, game one, they played all right. Game two, they didn't deserve to win, but you take the win and run. Game four, they legitimately played incredible, and it was.
It's a series.
Mostly in the hands
These
of
wins
the
are vital. Players. I don't care how you get them. Right. It's a team. I don't care who the leading scorer is. Who like it? It's about,
no doubt about
the
it,
first to four wins. You're up 3-1.
They look like such, you know, such a more fundamentally sound team, and now you bring it back to the Garden. Go from Garden South to, you know, the legit MSG. If we had a chance to close out Embiid. You know, the fact that you got a chance to shut the door on Tom Wilson and Joel Embiid in potentially nine games combined, I mean, that's got to feel good if you're a New York fan, Knicks. And you know what? What a time to be alive, man. You know, if you're looking at, you know, Carolina Islanders right now, you know, obviously the Islanders able to expand it to a game five. I see, like, Frankie Borelli, like, cheering like they just won the Cup. You know, you're basically extending the, you know, the dreaded outcome if you're an Islander fan, but hey, as a Ranger fan, I'd love to see that series go seven. I'm not going to say who I'd want to win game seven because I don't need that on record, but if that goes seven, we got the Rangers rested up a couple more days. Hey, man, it's looking good for once. We get our, you know, get to rest a little bit, watch a couple of the playoff games if you're on that Rangers team.
It's time to dream, and I'm not one of those hosts or fans that tell you don't look ahead. You know, oh, well, you know, the series isn't over yet for the Knicks or even with the Rangers right now. Hey, dream for your opponents to struggle. Dream of getting rest. Dream of Philip Hedl coming back. Dream of...
Yeah, that's a good problem to have, dude. I was talking, you know, Rempe, I know he's the moneymaker, but he kind of feels like the odd man out. I think I brought this up to you before. I just don't know. Wenberg's had his moments, Roslick a little bit more, but honestly, his deadline moves, they haven't really matched up to what they want so far, but I don't see them cutting bait on guys they added in midseason. Also, I don't see them cutting ties on a, you know, a guy in Rempy who's pretty much been like, you know, like a brother, like a moneymaker pretty much. But as far as like talent, yeah, he has the one goal, but Hedo's like a legitimate playoff performer. He's not a guy you could just kind of write off. Like, he legitimately needs a spot in this lineup.
He was ruled out for the season. If he can come back, that's part of the storyline.
That's huge, dude. And like I said, it's a good problem to have. You know, you got more than what you need to work with. And, you know, as far as Carolina, dude, you know, this is a team that, you know, 0-12 in their last 12 Eastern Conference final games. You know, even we took care of business. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2022, we shut them down game seven. First six games, the home team won every single game up until game seven. So, you know, Rob Brindamore and, you know, and company, they've showed in the regular season, playoffs not so much. But at the end of the day, that, you know, the rich get richer. They brought in Gensel, Kuznetsov, just completely rejuvenated his career. So, listen, man, the one thing I'm a little afraid of, and, like, guys, you know, speaking of good prompts to have, is this Washington. I didn't want to discredit playoff teams going in, but at the end of the day, in hindsight, I don't know how that team wound up being a playoff team. You look at teams like Detroit and hell, even Pittsburgh with Crosby still having gas left in the tank. I think anybody in that wild card race probably would have posed more of a threat. They were just out of it, Washington. So now I don't know. You know, the Rangers, this is kind of their first true step in the playoff race now. Carolina, it would be an understatement to say it's a bigger jump. So you know what? They got to play Carolina like the significantly better team they are. And hey, man, hopefully we don't see that series start up for a little bit, because hopefully this Carolina Islanders go seven. But anyway, appreciate the time, man.
Thanks for the call, Ross. You know Ross can run it up. Hit on the Rangers. Hit on the Islanders. Hit on the Knicks. Hit on the Mets. Yeah, Joey Wendell I just hated because he was team no gloves. And he wasn't a good player for Tampa, but he was a pest. Like, he would just come up. He wouldn't do anything, and then out of nowhere he's got a hit or he makes a play. Now, Mets fans got to deal with him not knowing how to play, not knowing how to make plays. Let's go to the Yankees for a second. I see all the Yankee calls lining up, 877-33-760-666. I'm sorry. I'm not confident that they win this series. I don't think they're winning the next three. I'm hoping that they split the series. And then obviously you saw Grayson Rodriguez tonight, who the Yankees have had trouble with. Well, don't look now, but tomorrow, probably the guy you're least confident with him on the mound, and shout out to Nestor, love Nestor, think he's a solid guy with a great story, but just talking about this rotation as it is, all right, they've struggled and they've lost with Nestor on the mound. So you've got Nestor Cortez versus Dean Kramer tomorrow, and Dean Kramer has shoved against the Yankees. And so coming off a 2-0 victory tonight, they've got the battery in their back down there in Birdland, and they have a chance to win the game tomorrow and guarantee a series split. These games with the Orioles are important. These games with the Orioles going back to last year, right? The Yankees got to tighten up, got to be ready to play. Can't lose these games, can't blow these games. They're going to count later, right? It's early, Keith, it's April. Yeah, but the math is the same later on in the year. Lou is calling from Astoria. You must have heard me talk about him in the open. What's up, Lou? You're back on the Fan.
Yeah, you're forcing me to call. I got to correct myself, okay? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, you but must anyway, have had something, a premonition. I was like, Judge never played left. You're like, maybe he did last year. And I'm like, no. Well, that's his first game.
No, but Keith, let me correct myself. He played three games in spring training left field so he can adapt to the position while Soto is getting old.
And right. I remember the news report coming up about Judge may potentially play some left field. And people were like, oh.
He's unbelievable. I mean, like I told you, the game is mental. This guy is the best player in baseball and the team. And just because Soto comes here, he's going to be treated like a second-class citizen. Is that right?
You can't be treated like a second-class citizen when those game checks are clearing. He makes $40 million a year. He doesn't have a C on his jersey, but he is the Yankee captain.
Keith, exactly. There's the word right there. He's not just a captain. He's the man.
Yeah, he's the face of baseball.
He's like an MVP player, and everybody in the city already say, hey, he's going to get the same money as Ohtani, you know, this and this and that. I mean, and George is right there. And right now, if you understand now that Soto settled down and it's going to actually happen when the season comes along, you know, and now he started to get a little bit of comfortable, okay? But I mean, you know, he's playing center field. He played left field today, which was my point. Why is it Soto, when he plays last year for San Diego in left field, why it has to be Judge when he's the best right fielder in baseball? And believe it or not, it's coming back.
Whatever is best for Soto, whatever Soto wants, whatever he's most comfortable doing.
He's gonna get. Exactly.
You know, the Yankees, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They already fixed something that wasn't broke. Leave him in right field. He wants to play every day. He's hitting better than everybody else. Leave him.
Sooner or later, all Judge got to do is hit in the playoffs, and he's the man. You can't stop
No, Judge is the man forever. Judge is the man forever. I refuse to subscribe to the almighty 62 home run, AL home run king, 6'7", 280. Aaron Judge, a $40 million a year player, is somehow compromised or mentally small where Juan Soto has stolen the show from him. I just don't think that that's it.
Exactly. He's going to be, sooner or later, he's going to be getting less money than a guy that's a one-dimensional player. No. Okay, listen, I like Soto. Don't get me wrong. He's not even
he's
going to
got, he's
that.
Already just, yeah, he's got more money than he can ever spend. Just 1 year of that new contract.
I want to see if I can send you a video. He was at the barbershop, okay? When he actually told a Dominican partner, listen, make sure I get a good haircut, but next year I'm going to Queens. But it's in Spanish. I want to
Juan Soto said that?
Understand a little bit. Huh?
Juan Soto said that at Jordan MVP Barber?
Yes.
In Spanish. Yeah, send it my way. I'd love to see it.
I'm going to send it to you when he says, before I go to Queens, okay?
Yeah, he's going to joke like that all year. He knows it's only a two-team race. He's not leaving New York City. It's the Yankees.
You're absolutely right in one part, okay? I hope he doesn't stay with the Yankees, but he's going to go for the highest bidder. You take care, my friend.
Thanks for the call, Lou. I don't think so. I think the Yankees have a little bit of leverage. I think Juan Soto is learning. As last week I talked about all the reggaeton artists, all these different Dominican, Puerto Rican superstars that I wasn't aware with, that I'm seeing in Legends at Yankee Stadium, and then I'm seeing them on the Yankees Instagram, and I'm like, what is this? Oh, this is Juan Soto land. All these stars are coming out to see Juan Soto. And I think Juan Soto likes being a Yankee, likes wearing the pinstripes, likes the roll call, likes the short porch, likes what it's like with his friends pulling up, or maybe they're not his friends, but hey, they're coming to the Bronx to see him play as a Yankee. I've been on record saying this. That is leverage. Now, is it enough leverage where the Yankees can just offer him $350, $400 million? Absolutely not. But I think it's enough leverage against Steve Cohen and the Mets. And I'm not trolling, and I'm not poking fun at the Mets fans because they know this better than anybody. It's Nike versus Puma when you're looking at the Yankees versus the Mets. Not everybody wants to go over that other side for, I don't know, an extra $100 million. Steve Cohen will have to put an extra $100 million on top of whatever the Yankees put out there for Juan Soto. But I don't want to talk about December. We're talking about tonight. Aaron Judge, I mean, I had a take that blew up on the internet where I'm like, Aaron Judge must be hurt. But that was 2 weeks ago now. What is it now? He's not hurt. He's playing center field. He's playing left field. He did hit some over the weekend. The guy's not himself. I refuse to believe that he's not himself because of Juan Soto mania. I just refuse to think that a guy like Aaron Judge, who did what he did 2 years ago, who's done what he's done in Major League Baseball so far, looks at anyone as better than him. I don't think he looks at anyone as his equal.
No, I think, but like, is there a little bit of this guy is getting a little bit too much shine? I'm the captain.
No, you know why he's getting that? Because look at his numbers. Look at him producing.
Oh, of course. Listen, Juan Soto.
Look at him getting on base in front of you and you striking out, popping up,
right,
grounding into double plays.
And all you have to ask is, who's the better player right now? And it's Juan Soto by a mile. And that's just the way it is.
And unfortunately, like, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Look at the numbers. Even if you didn't watch every single Yankee game like I did, you can look at the numbers early on. It's a small sample size, Keith. It's early. It's April. Pretty soon it ain't. We got one more day. Right. And then you can't call me up and say, it's April. You can't write on Twitter, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It's April. No, I know what month it is. I know how many at-bats these guys have. Like, it's time. If you're a $40 million player in this league that everybody has seen.
Yeah, I wonder when. Now, you seem to be there already, but I wonder when, like, most Yankee fans get to the point where they start to get just, like, frustrated. Not angry that
they're
Aaron Judge, but
there,
frustrated.
Bro, tonight, that first strikeout he had, they showed a clip of the Yankee fans that probably paid, I don't know, $200 to sit behind the dugout in Camden Yards, the Yankee dugout, you can see their faces like, oh, like with a Judge strikeout. Judge is starting to lose that grace. There is no grace period. There is no benefit of the doubt anymore because it's like, it's costing us. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing when they're able to overcome. It's one thing when they're able to win one-run games. It's one thing when you're able to kind of say, oh, well, the team is Judge-proof. No, they've been shut out five times.
Right.
And in those shutouts,
right.
Look what Judge did or didn't do.
And I think, and again, we're a long way from it, but you know this, and I know this, and everyone knows this. This team can't win if Aaron Judge is going to hit 200. Like, they're just, they can't win.
The World Series? Or... They can't win the first round of the postseason.
That's what's
scaring me about this. When I say feast or famine,
yes.
It's the same thing every year. You can put a couple different guys in the lineup, but ultimately they have a lineup that we can see go absolutely cold, can't manufacture a single run. And that has reared its ugly head for years now with this Yankee team. Josh is up in the Bronx where the Yankees play. Hello again, Josh.
I'm telling you, Keith, man. You're hitting it on all the cylinders. I agree with you totally. You don't know what you're going to get day in and day out. Everything is like a different thing with the Yankees, you know, up, down, all around, you know. Just keep on seeing it and calling it the way you have, because I agree with you, man. It is what it is, man. Until you get your ace back and Gerrit Cole and, you know, you get the Martian back and everything, you know.
John Birdie back, you know.
Yep. And, you know, I know how much you want to move Gleyber to Torres and everything else.
For
like
what?
That.
For a Metro card, one ride? Yep. You know, we're not getting anything for Gleyber Torres.
Ross and Bergen County, Lou and Astoria, those were terrific calls, Keith. Keep them coming. I'm listening. Thank you for having me on, as always, Keith.
You got it, Josh. You don't got to shout out Ross and Bergen County and Lou from Astoria. You're supposed to come on and be like, those calls were whack. Third call, I got it. I'm hitting better in the third spot than Aaron Judge. All rise. You know, I think what it was with that video that WFAN clipped of me, it was just real. It was me talking about Judge. I'm like, he must be hurt. I've never seen the guy look like this. I mentioned the Monstar zapping his powers. I mentioned the all rise in the stadium to get your attention. Judge is batting. How in my house, shut up. Be quiet. Judge is batting because it's can't miss TV. Now you can, oh, Judge is up. Oh, hopefully he doesn't strike out. Hopefully he doesn't pop up. Oh, just missed it again. This was one of the most feared hitters in baseball. This is a $40 million man. That contract, we're in year two of the contract. And I trust Judge will figure it out because the larger sample size says that he will. But this team is not going to – he's going to bat third. And I don't know. Some people are like, well, maybe move him to second. No. It is what it is. You get Juan Soto to put him in front of Aaron Judge because he's already driven. And even though he's struggling, I saw a stat from – I got to go find that stat from Brian Hoke about – how many runners he's already driven in this short amount of time compared to the years before. I don't know. It's early until it's not. But it's not good enough because on a night like tonight, hey, you can't score one run against a division rival, a young division rival coming off 101 wins that now they look at you like we're not afraid of the big bad Yankees anymore. Let's go to Jersey City and talk to Andrew. Andrew, you're on the Fan. What you got for us?
Keith, man, great to hear you tonight. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm going to move off the Yankees and Mets calls after this first hour and a half because it's one game, whatever. We'll see what happens. You know, there's just a lot of positive stuff going on, but it's a nightly show. You got to live in what happened tonight, and we are. So what do you think?
Dude, yeah. So that's exactly what I'm loving about the show tonight because I was going to start quickly with the negative, which was tonight in Mets-Yankee land, but then just pivot back to this past weekend.
Go ahead. Yep, you can.
Yeah. So real quick, my one observation I had from the Yankee game was, I don't know if you saw the play where Stanton got...
What the hell was he doing? He looked like he was going to tag up. The ball was not high enough. What is going on? Wake up. Lock in. He sucks on the base paths. What, we got to pinch run this guy every single time? Can't do that. He's another one. I mean, he hits, but that is a brutal play. That inning right there was the game. That was the same inning that Rizzo got rang up on the ball forward, low and inside.
Yeah, yeah. I don't, that play just drove me nuts. I'm a Mets fan, and I just want to touch on, like, obviously I'm so bummed about the Severino, you know, going for the no-no, and then we lose. But anyway, so pivoting to just some positives, I was at Citi Field yesterday for the Vientos walk-off. That was dope. And the the Yanks putting up 15 runs back-to-back,
mm-hmm.
Rangers, Knicks. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of good stuff, but yeah, tonight was bad. So anyway.
Sunday fun day. We had a great day Sunday. There was, if you were a New York sports fan and you were watching the baseball and the basketball and the hockey, like, it was great.
Yeah, man, and I'm just psyched for Vientos because It was an awesome environment to be a part of. So I still have hope as a Mets fan. But yeah, yesterday at Citi Field, it was, you know, 75 degrees. Awesome day. Awesome day.
Yes, sir. And there's more days like that on the way. Thanks for the call, Andrew. There's more positive days, more wins ahead. But like I said, this is a radio show that happens daily, nightly. And I get to come on at night. So I'm going to react to what went on tonight. But I also wasn't on Sunday night or Saturday night. So I have a ton to unpack from the weekend that was. I already hit you with the draft conversation. I already hit you with the Knicks fans taking over Philadelphia. They put a jersey on the Wilt Chamberlain statue. I just like how bold, especially these young fans are. In this era of TikTok and reels and you know, everybody just wants to be on the next viral Bing Bong video. These kids will do anything. They're out there stomping on jerseys. Knicks and Five Chance in the building, putting a jersey on a statue. Like, I don't care. They took over Philadelphia. So we'll get into more of those conversations. But I got Yankee fans that want to talk about the Yankees and their issues. Kathy in Bayville, how are you? You're back on the Fan.
Keister.
Hey.
Keith Meister, Keith Rue.
Those are all new ones, but count them.
I know.
Listen,
the Yankees won the whole weekend through.
They lost Friday.
Okay. The weekend. You have to be positive. You said you're a positive person. I believe that the strategy of the Yankees are such that they may know to sit back a little bit and see the team they're up against, which is a good team, which is the Orioles are like neck and neck with them, play it kind of slow, play it kind of dumb, and play it out to see what they need to do the next three games.
I guess. I don't know.
I'm telling you.
It's not basketball.
You're a positive person,
like, that's what the,
right?
That's what the Knicks did, right? They adjusted to
man. You're positive, right?
I am.
You have to be positive because I think they're smart enough, and I don't know if I should even say this on the air, if they're listening, the opponents, I think they have a game. It's a strategy a little bit maybe. You never know.
Yeah, just, not score a run and then, botch the ground ball, the tailor-made ground ball. Volpe just kicks the ground ball, slow rolling ground ball that you needed, and that's the game.
I know. Yeah, I know. But it's only one game.
It is.
So
he's been very good.
You lose some, some more. You don't want that to happen. The only thing I want, thank you for listening to me and thank you for taking my call. And the only thing I wish about tomorrow night with the Knicks, everybody's like, they're gonna win. I'm not good with predicting stuff. Like, I don't want to jinx it kind of thing.
Yeah, none of us are powerful enough to jinx anything. But go on.
That's what I'm thinking about,
Don't make it so positive.
Not positive, but so definite that it's like almost like, I don't know, a jinx.
Nah. Huh? I said gentlemen sweep, Knicks in five. I've been saying it from before the series. I was telling Knicks fans, don't get cold feet now. Don't be shook now. It's time. Knicks in five. You're going up against a hobbled Embiid. You're going against a Sixers team that, like, Maxey's not like that yet. He's a good little player, but he's not a dog yet. He's not able to take over the game and help Embiid like that. So as they make adjustments, that's what, you know, Kathy was talking about, the Yankees having a game. The Yankees don't have no game to, like, there's no game plan to, like, let's just hang back, strike out, ground in the double plays, not score a damn run, leave runners on base, LOB. You down with LOB? Yeah, you know me. The Yankees are like, yeah, we're just down with LOB tonight. And then we're going to get Dean Kramer tomorrow. Nah, this is not how it works. But the Knicks, it's game by game. Each game is different. There's a different strategy and different game plan. And you know what? The Knicks gave up 43 in the third quarter of game three, so they weren't about to do that again in game four. And Jalen Brunson said, you can't hold me down to 25 points. At some point, I'm going to get 40. Then I'm going to get 47. So, yeah. All right, let's take another call on the Yankees before we go to the next break. And the update coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. But first, Anthony's out in Michigan on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, love the show. I have a point about tonight's Yankee game. It'll take me a second to get there.
Okay.
I'm a Devils fan like you are, and these Orioles, their rebuild reminds me of the Devils, kind of.
Yeah.
Except thankfully for the Orioles, there's no goaltending.
Hopefully their second year, they fall short of the playoffs as well.
Well, yeah, you know, Adley Rutschman is kind of the Nico Hischier, kind of that solid captain-like presence, and Gunner is their Jack Hughes. And, you know, I'd argue Henderson's biggest play tonight was not the home run, but running on Soto in the eighth to take third,
yeah,
which led directly to that insurance run. I mean, that's just flashy, great talent.
Heads up
there.
Baseball, anyway, acting like you trying to compete and win and scratch and claw and get every run and, yeah, take every base.
Bringing this to the Yankees, the thing about Henderson, the Yankees, we all agree Volpe is a fine player. But for as much as we hear Hal and Cashman talk about the Orioles tanking and their draft positioning, Cashman's team is the one that passed on Henderson.
Everyone
in the draft
did, yeah.
And took Volpe a few picks earlier. That single decision is going to affect the AL East for a better part of a decade. That one decision.
Mm-hmm. We're in it already. Yep, you're right.
And all this leads me to the fact that the time is now for the Yankees. Every single Oriole player is going to improve. None of them are near their ceiling. And there's even more guys behind them.
And now they have the ownership group to pay everyone.
Yep. Meanwhile, the Yanks might not have Soto, we don't know, and have an aging core. The time is now. The front office has to know that. And now bring it to tonight's game. Though Verdugo being out is sort of a partial excuse, it's just not good enough in 2024 to be in a position in the ninth inning with Grisham up against a tough lefty and having no viable veteran pitch hit options there.
Yep.
The front office has to go all out against these O's right now. And leaving the team with no options there leaves a bad
The lineup game. Is the lineup, and the roster is the roster. There's not much on that bench at all.
Fam was there. Now Pilar is out there. Now there's pieces on the bench you could get right now.
They like Jamai Jones and Taylor Trammell.
What?
Because they don't cost anything. They were nothing.
They don't cost anything. Now is the time. Go get them. This is their best chance. Yeah, of course the Yankees could win next year. The payroll's there. But we all know this Orioles team is getting better and better. And guess what? They're not the Astros. They're not in some other division. They're in the AL East this time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This is the first matchup against the Orioles, and that game tonight was one of those, yep, well, they're going to win games like that. Those close games like that, the advantage goes to them.
Well, tomorrow you mentioned Kramer. The O's bullpen is a wreck right now, a wreck. And they used it up tonight. Tomorrow's got to be the night for the Yanks. They're going to be seeing Bauman coming out of the pen. They're going to be seeing the lowest level dregs coming out. The Mets guy who went to the Orioles, I forget his name now, is going to be pitching tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is the night. It's kind of a must win because why? You got Burns and Bradish coming up after that, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, and watch Dean Kramer will go eight innings tomorrow. Thanks for the call, Anthony. 877-337-6666. Let me try and find that stat on how many runs Judge has driven in batting third behind Juan Soto this early on. And I don't know. We can look at everything else. Congrats to Anthony Rizzo on hitting 500 homers. No, 300 homers. What am I saying? Didn't hit any homers today. Who else didn't do anything today? Oswaldo has completely cooled off from his hot start. It is what it is, man. You are hoping that guys like Volpe, top of the order, another overnight. It is what it is. That's your leadoff hitter. But I had this thought today. When DJ comes back, why not put DJ there? He's got the experience doing it. And maybe it helps get Volpe back to where he was. And, of course, people helicopter in on Twitter to be like, oh, Keith, you thought he was going to hit 450 all year? No, dumbass. Just watch his at-bats. His eye is different. He's swinging at, like, you know what I'm saying? And people just got to come up with arguments for it to be early until it's not. Until it's not. And I love Volpe's game. I think he's going to be a really solid player. But at 22 in his second year, he started off his second year, and it was him and Mookie Betts up there when you looked at all the stats after the first three series. And then we don't even get through the fourth series, and they say, well, in 10 years, you're going to look up, and Volpe will be the leadoff hitter. Just kidding. You're going to look up tomorrow, and he'll be your leadoff hitter because that's just what we have to do to get Gleyber Torres going. Oh, let me see what Gleyber Torres did today. Actually, Gleyber had a good weekend, so I'll leave him alone. He had two hits tonight. I'll leave Gleyber alone because we absolutely need Gleyber Torres to keep hitting. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.